Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, April 20th, 420, 2023. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is LaCroix Poppy, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim Muggin Geddes.
But Tim host, I don't care how old I get. Mm-hmm. It does not matter. 420, 69, saying nice, blaze it up, all that
blaze
stuff.
Do you even blaze it, Tim?
I do not blaze.
Okay.
I don't either. The gummies.
Okay.
Smoking I can't do. It fucks me up.
That's fair.
Not my thing at all. But I just, there's something.
Are you celebrating the holidays? Are you selling the holiday right now?
I'm just happy.
Did you take gum before the show?
No.
Are you about to have a weird time?
We're going to have a weird fucking time, everybody, but not because of that. But I feel a presence, like being around Cool Greg and Snowbike Mike. I feel like they're getting antsy. You know what I mean?
They're counting the hours.
They're counting down.
They're counting the seconds.
But what I love, also, Snowbike Mike, feeling the vibe already. I love this. First thing I do, pull into the parking lot, I see Mike. He has a big smile on his face. It's a beautiful day. And I'm like, what's up, Mike? And he's like, dude, started off the day right. Went across the street to the liquor store. Bought the guys there a round of shots.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What time is it? You got here like 9:45.
It's 9:30.
Why are they taking shots at 9:45?
420, baby.
They have the day ahead of them. They're working an actual job. They're not podcasters.
Oh, my God. And also, it's a liquor store. It's not a bar.
Yeah.
You don't buy people shots. God bless you, Snowbike Mike. My point is, I know that it's the most played out thing ever. I know it's not funny. At this point, it's not even a joke. But it just feels like who I am and who so many people are. I know I'm not unique, but that makes us all a community.
It makes us all a community.
Nice.
Dope doing, pot smoking. I don't do drugs.
69.
69. I say 69. I don't think we do that either. But yeah, you
never 69?
I would never say never. I've done it once. It wasn't for me. Okay. It was not for me. I was like, this was overrated. But, you know, hey, that's what other things are for. Tim, let's talk about today's news stories, which include PlayStation increasing PC game prices in some countries, a new realistic first-person shooter, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I've already fucked it up. Fuck it. Oh. Me and Mike have the challenge.
How high are you, Black?
Me and Mike have the challenge to do the intro without the script. And the camera change fucked me up because I was expecting the one. Yeah. I didn't get the one until halfway through. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong. I'm going to kindoffunny.com and you're wrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on. Why is the camera on Tim? Why is it on Tim? Why is it on me, Barrett? If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe. Around the globe.
Like, God damn it. That's optional at best.
No, it's not optional. That's required. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code KindaFunny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. Fucking Barrett is fucking me up. To be a part of the show, you can head to kindoffunny.com/KFGD to get your questions read on the show. And remember, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames will get you the show ad-free plus a bevy of bonus content. Housekeeping for you. Friday, the Dead Walk, and Greg Miller is going to help you end them. That's right, Greg's playing Dead Island 2 on PS5 as part of a sponsored stream. And if you have the game and are watching live, Greg might come help you fight the undead. Tune in on Twitch and YouTube Friday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time to watch the shenanigans. Barrett's second of four video essays this year is out now, and it's all about him looking back at Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order and sharing why it connected him on a deep personal level. Watch it to get in the Star Wars feels or reinvigorate your hype for Jedi Survivor next week. Check it out on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
I was here when he recorded it, and I've been hyping it up, saying like it was a really good script, really good performance. I watched this last night, and I was like, it's broken up into parts. I was like, I'm gonna watch a part a night. I ended up watching the whole damn thing in one go. It is extremely high quality content, and I think this is required viewing for anybody that's excited for Jedi Survivor.
Hell yeah.
This is such a great kind of like, you watch this, and you're gonna be itching to survive.
You'll be itching to survive. Hell yeah. Man, Bear being his Duffy when he writes these video essays. And so, hell yeah, check that out. Go get excited for Jedi Survivor. Go relive the wonderful parts of Jedi Fallen Order. And yeah, maybe I'll check this out too, because this looks really cool. And also, shout out to the background. Who did this? Was this you, Bear, or was this Roger? Who did the background?
I found the background and did some editing on it.
Hell yeah.
But then also shout out, I forgot to shout Roger out yesterday. Roger did this cool After Effects stuff with us, kind of putting this my script on the back wall and playing in the background here.
That's super cool.
Just
dope.
Like the opening crawl.
Holy cow. Yeah, go check that out. And then Tim and Nick are back at it with your favorite advice show. Love, Sex, and Stuff is live tonight at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Twitch and Kinda Funny's YouTube.
So excited. The return of one of the OGs, us hanging out, answering your life advice questions. If you have problems in your life, you better be here 5 to 7 p.m. You write in. We're answering your questions.
Your questions about love, sex, and stuff.
Stuff.
My question about sex, Tim, where do you rank 69 for yourself?
You know, like, you're going to have to hang out later
from 5 to 7.
And I will answer there.
Fair enough. And then a new Kind of Funny X-Cast is up right now, all about fixing Halo. You can catch that on YouTube.com. It's Kind of Funny Games. Over on Patreon, there's a new Greg Way. That's Greg's daily vlog going up every single day. And then remember, we're trying something new with YouTube Super Chats on Kind of Funny Games daily. Only on YouTube in the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post-show where Stomach Mike comes through to talk to us KHD hosts about your Super Chat questions. You can stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with me, Mike, and Tim before the next Kind of Funny stream starts. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tripod Plus Plus and Delaney Twining. Today we're brought to you by Rocket Money, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 7 stories today.
A bigger dozen.
That's a lot of stories, bless.
That's a lot of stories. We got some good stories to talk about. Let's start with story number one. PlayStation has significantly increased Steam game prices in some countries. This is Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Sony Interactive Entertainment has significantly increased its game prices on Steam in some countries. As first spotted by Reset Era user Chairman Chuck, shout out to Chairman Chuck, the prices of Sackboy Big Adventure and Returnal have been increased this week in countries including Argentina, Canada, Chile, China, Colombia, Japan, and South Korea. VGC has verified these price rises using SteamDB and found that other PlayStation titles, including God of War and Spider-Man Remastered, have received similar price increases. The price increases vary by country and title. In Canada, the price of all 4 games has been upped by $10, representing 14.5% to 17% increases based on their starting price. In Sony's home country of Japan, the prices of the games have risen by between approximately 29% and 32.5%. Argentina appears to be by far the most heavily affected by the price increases. God of War's price has more than doubled this week from 4,199 pesos to 8,499 pesos. The cost of Spider-Man Remastered has also doubled, while the prices of Sackboy and Returnal have risen by 67%.
Bless.
Tim.
I have breaking news for you right here, right now.
What's that?
PlayStation upped its prices of PC games, all right? They used all that money to right now acquire Firewalk Studios.
Is that really happening?
That is really happening.
Wait, oh, Firewalk Studios has actually been acquired?
Being acquired.
Holy cow. What the? Okay, well, let's talk about this first. That's a wild story.
Yeah, we'll put. I'm putting it at...
Put it as a breaking news story. Put it as story 1.5 because we're going to talk about that. But yeah, no, I mean, this is wild, right? We've seen this happening over the years in terms of prices going up. What's that? Oh, God. When did he even get back there?
I don't want to be a part of this.
You dumb fucking bastards. You dumb fucking PC bastards. Please keep buying them. Please keep buying the play. We'll keep giving you the old PlayStation games, and you keep buying them. We'll keep jacking up the prices, and they won't even work for you. They won't even work for you. Oh my God. Please, PC gamers, I know. Let me check. Yeah, it's been a week. There's going to be a new RTX 3045 V80 coming out. And man, if you put $850 of that into your fucking goddamn ice cabinet, with the coolants. And you mouse and your keybinds, then these are all going to work real good. So you should definitely pay for these new prices for your PlayStation games on your PC, for your old PlayStation games on your PC, so I can keep getting new PlayStation games on my PlayStation 5. That works so great. Works so great. Everything works so great. And the games are cheaper. I can probably, most of the games that they raise the prices on, I can probably get a PlayStation Plus right now.
Probably, yeah.
I can probably get them on PlayStation Plus right now.
Yeah, you probably can. You probably can.
Oh my God. Oh my God, everybody. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? 16 years in the PlayStation mines and I've won. I've just won. PC gaming, everybody knows it sucks. Xbox gaming, holy shit. Did you listen to the X-Cast?
All it is
him and Gary hugging and crying because everything sucks.
They're trying
to tell themselves this Minecraft Legends is at a 7 is a good game.
I wasn't going to comment on the fact that the X-Cast episode is called Fixing Halo, and that's it's not the first time they've had that conversation.
I'll tell you what, 2023, man. We did it. We did it.
Story 1.5. PlayStation acquires Firewalk Studio. How was he already disheveled?
Disheveled so quickly.
10 a.m. He got disheveled so quickly.
He walked into this building. He walked into this room so happy. We're like, hi, guys. And we're like, oh, this is going to be a great Greg Miller day. Here we are.
When did he get back there?
when the fuck did he get behind this wall?
He's been back there for 2 hours. The person you saw earlier was a double we hired.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit.
PlayStation acquires Firewalk Studios. In the dock, Tim linked over to Business Wire, and Business Wire looked like it was down for a second. Oh, looks like it's up now. Sony Interactive Entertainment to acquire Firewalk Studios from probably Monsters, Inc. Again, this comes directly from Business Wire. This is a press release. Sony Interactive Entertainment, LLC, announced today it has entered into an agreement with Probably Monsters, Inc. to acquire Firewalk Studios, a studio of industry-leading creatives developing an original AAA multiplayer game for PlayStation 5 and PC. Firewalk will collaborate alongside world-class development teams, including Bungie and Haven Interactive Studios, to define a new generation of live service experiences for PlayStation gamers. Based in Bellevue, Washington, Firewalk was formed in 2018 as part of Probably Monsters, an independent AAA game company founded by CEO Harold Ryan, former CEO, president, and chairman at Bungie, that builds sustainable game teams focusing on original AAA games. Firewalk's team of best-in-class developers, led by industry veterans Tony Hsu and Ryan Ellis, have years of collective expertise on some of gaming's most successful and impactful multiplayer titles. Probably Monsters and Firewalk announced an exclusive publishing partnership with SIE in April 2021, and now Firewalk will be the 20th studio to join PlayStation Studios. Quote, Firewalk Studios is led by a world-class team that is highly experienced and deeply passionate about creating exceptional multiplayer games that foster memorable shared experiences, said Jim Ryan, president and CEO, Sony Interactive Entertainment. I'm confident the studio's upcoming project will be a robust addition to PlayStation Studios' portfolio, and its live service and technology expertise will be instrumental in helping grow PlayStation's reach.
A lot of stuff here, a lot more quotes. I think one real quick one I want to read here from Firewalk Studios themselves is saying, we've assembled an amazing team here, and specifically to bring memorable multiplayer experiences to players around the world. SIE has supported our team's vision from the beginning, and with the incredible power, creative power of PlayStation Studio ecosystem, this exciting next step will help us transform that vision into a reality. This is a vision and a reality you've been talking about for years now, Bless. I like to put it on your shoulders. You're the one that saw it all happening and put together, what was it, the 14 games?
The number's been increasing. I think it started at 10 and then raised up to around 13 games now. The live service ongoing games that PlayStation has greenlit to kind of build their live service future, right? Have the slate of games, talking about games from Firewalk, talking about games from Bungie and Deviation and Haven Studios, right? Working on multiplayer games that they can add to the PlayStation portfolio.
What I like about this is the use of the word multiplayer. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is just like a dumb little thing, but they're not saying live service here. They're not saying games as a service. Well, a lot of them probably be that. Yes. But they are doubling down multiple times. They're saying multiplayer. Multiplayer experiences on PlayStation. I'm going to take that as a preference. I'd rather that over any of those other words. This, at least to me, shows that PlayStation is trying to build out a vertical for themselves that traditionally they've never held down on the exclusive PlayStation Studio side of things.
Yeah.
The last couple of generations, PlayStation's kind of become the dominant system for the third-party multiplayer games.
Yeah,
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
That. But this, and I'd say even on the Xbox side, it's like they have a lot, and they've just continued to get more and more big first-person shooters, a lot of multiplayer games. We have Redfall coming, things like that. So this is absolutely not a surprise. Do you think that this acquisition itself is that important?
I mean, I think it's important in the sense of PlayStation is really trying to own these games, right? Like, when you have somebody that is working for you as a third party, that is developing a first-party game, if the plan is for this game to live on for 5 years, 10 years, even 3 years, right, not owning that studio kind of makes that relationship difficult in some senses, right? Being able to own them and go, hey, all right, you're part of PlayStation Studios. That means you get to work alongside Bungie. That means you probably get to jump through less hoops in terms of what these back and forths look like. That means you have the financial backing of PlayStation, and so you don't have to worry about your future as a studio, right? Especially when you're talking about an ongoing thing. Hey, we're gonna work on this game for 5 years that is published by PlayStation, but you know, like, we're working with the money that PlayStation gives us up front to work on this thing, and however much money they gave us over time to work on this thing, but you still have to fight for yourself as a studio, right? Like, make deals as a studio, figure out what other projects you might want to work on as a studio, figure out what future projects you want to work on. Having the comfortability of being owned by PlayStation Studios does a lot in terms of, cool, now we get to just focus on the game.
And again, the quote here, it makes me really excited about them saying that their team's vision's been supported from the beginning, but they're excited about the incredible creative power of the PlayStation Studio ecosystem. With all these acquisitions going on, like, of course, there's a lot of downsides to it, and there are some upsides, and we're starting to see some of them. We're starting to see a lot of mess and a lot of legal issues and, like, it getting really bogged down and furthering out when the benefits are actually going to start to be seen, mainly on the Xbox side, where we see how many acquisitions they've had. Having said that, like, we're already through Bethesda. We're already through a lot of their I forget some of the other smaller teams that they've gotten.
Yeah, Xbox,
the
Double Fine.
Exactly. Like, we're starting to see that already. We see the benefits of what the Xbox ecosystem can offer some of these traditionally smaller teams. But then even for bigger teams, get rid of some redundancy in terms of workflows and just be able to create and just be able to work on the things that they actually want to work on. PlayStation, I think, has done a really good job so far of allowing their engine, like, whether it's the Decima engine of Horizon being used in Death Stranding, or all the things that we've seen from PlayStation's push into accessibility and the options in games, translating between God of War and Naughty Dog games, you know, and things like that, where they're kind of building a standard of expectation that a PlayStation Studios game, you should expect it to have this, 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 and this. That's the power of an ecosystem and being able to work together. So applying more of that with more expertise, having more teams like this come in to define what the standard for multiplayer stuff is, that's an exciting future where hopefully they can answer some of the questions of the things that we don't like about current multiplayer games.
Yeah, right. And I think they are building a foundation for itself. Like, this is the thing that I've liked about how PlayStation goes about acquiring studios, is the fact that they acquired Insomniac after they had already had this relationship with Insomniac, and Insomniac can put out bangers for them, right? And it's like, hey, why don't we do this? Like, this just makes sense. They acquire the Returnal studio, Housemarque, after years of working with them, after years of having games like Resogun and other games come to PlayStation, and knowing that this is a studio that does good work, knowing that this is a studio that is in this place of wanting to make bigger projects, right, and wanting to transition, Returnal comes out as a PlayStation Studios game, and then that is successful. And then PlayStation goes, all right, let's scoop them up. Like, they've proven themselves. They have PlayStation Studios quality. It's an interesting thing seeing PlayStation acquire both Haven and now this studio, right, Firewalk, and it being a thing of they've not put out a game for us yet, but we're trying to build those building blocks. Because I think when you're talking about a multiplayer live service, quote-unquote, game, you're talking about games that are going to take years to build, years to develop, and you're also talking about an initiative for PlayStation that right now, I would say he's probably being led by Bungie. Like, Bungie was probably the first big one in terms of, all right, we are committing to this. Like, this is a vertical for us. This is the thing that we're going hard with. If we're going to do that, we got to get the big guns. We got to get one of the best studios known for making multiplayer and live service games. We got to bring them into the fold, and we also got to use their expertise, right? They talk about in the press release having them talk to Bungie, having them partner with Bungie, having you know, Haven Studios being another studio to work with. They're building something here. And I think, yeah, looking toward Firewalk, which, again, when you look at the names, you're talking about people that worked at Destiny in the case of Tony Hsu. You're talking about somebody that works that also worked at Bungie in the case of Ryan Ellis, right? You have a history of people there that know what they're doing, right? A history of people there that have put out bangers. And it's funny, we just talked about this on PS Love You in our episode where we pitched our own PlayStation showcases. One of the ideas that I pitched was the Firewalk Studio project, right? Like, what are they working on? When you go to their website, you see like a lot of spacey type shit, right? A lot of stuff that invokes Destiny. And I'd be surprised if they make something that's super close to Destiny, but I wouldn't be surprised if they make a space shooter that is something that's going to be updated over time. And I think that along with whatever Haven Studios is doing and maybe a new thing from Bungie, I think those are going to be part of the wave one of PlayStation Studios multiplayer games. And I think that's very exciting.
They need to hit. They can't just be okay. They need to get it right. And that's hard.
Yeah.
But it looks like they're doing the homework.
It looks like they're doing the homework. Story number two. There's a new trailer for a photorealistic indie body cam shooter called Unrecord. It's become an overnight internet sensation. This is Chris Scolian at Video Games Chronicle. A photorealistic first-person shooter played from the viewpoint of a police body cam has become an overnight internet sensation. The two-minute trailer for Unrecord, which is being developed by French indie studio Drama, shows a police officer entering an abandoned building and engaging in shootouts with numerous criminals. Co-director and programmer Alexander Spindler posted the footage on Twitter on Wednesday. At the time of writing, the footage has been on Twitter for less than 20 hours and has already amassed around 40 million views with 150,000 likes and 20,000 retweets. The YouTube version has a further 210,000 views. However, the video has also led to a number of debates, with some questioning whether the footage actually is in-game, and others suggesting the hyper-realistic visuals combined with the subject matter may be a step too far. Tim, I assume you saw this doing the rounds yesterday.
Yes, I did. And this, everything you just said is how this hits me. Like, looking at this, if it actually is real, because it's, you know, you could totally just make a video and like export CG renders of things. But if this is what gameplay can be, that is incredibly impressive. And I would love to play a hide and seek parkour game or something like that. This level, the level of violence in this and the control, like you being able to interact with it and control it, and the cop angle and the body cam angle in this day and age, everything about it feels really icky, and it like it rubs me the wrong way to the point that I'm like, it makes me just uncomfortable.
It's fucking gross.
Yeah, that was my immediate reaction where I first saw this and I was like, oh, is this an FMV game? And then you look into it and they're like, no, this is real time first person shooter gameplay, which I still don't believe. Like, maybe this is rendered in engine, but whenever this game actually comes out, it's not going to run and play like this and look like this all at the same time. I think that might be impossible for where we're at right now in technology, but like, it looked really impressive. So I was like, oh yeah, what is this? And you read through the description and I'm like, oh fuck no, like this is disgusting, right? Like, on the, you go to the Steam page, the description on the Steam page reads, Unrecord is a single player FPS that tells the story of a tactical police officer from the perspective of his body camera. As you work to solve a complex case, you'll need to use your tactical and detective skills to succeed. And I think there are ways to make a game like this that could be done. Like, if this was just an FMV game where you made choices, it'd be one thing, right? I'd be like, all right, cool, whatever. Not my cup of tea, but sure. This being a game that takes place from the perspective of a body camera that has such realistic looking imagery to it, and you are playing as a cop and you are like going against
killing criminals. Oh man, there's so much about it.
I do not like that.
it's a weird one where I wonder where this is gonna go. Like, again, the question of is it real, I think, is an important one.
Yeah,
like, where, what's this even going to do otherwise? But anyways, yeah, such a technology, man, that with great power comes great responsibility. You know?
Exactly.
And I feel like there is a line, and I feel like that line doesn't necessarily need to be the same for everybody. In my opinion, this is crossing my line.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of Abandoned in terms of What the fuck is this?
Don't bless.
Not to invoke
don't
abandon.
Invoke abandon.
But like abandon was a similar thing where it's like, oh yeah, graphically this looks cool. Oh, what the fuck is this a Kojima game? Is this not a Kojima game? Hey developer, tell us more. And they're just not. They do not shoot straight with us. This is one where I want to know like a lot of. I've seen some of the back and forth between the developer and other people on Twitter that are like, is this real? Like, is this going? And he's like, oh yeah, it's 100% real. Like, it's an engine, all this stuff. Like, show me. Like, I want to see more. Like, show me your work. I find it very hard to believe that this is how the game is going to look and run when you actually put this thing out. But hey, crazier things have happened, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. Yeah.
It's called Unrecord. There's a lot of...
Mm-mm. It's gross. Story number three. Humanity gets a release date. This is Sal Romano at Komatsu. Do you think when... Never mind. I was going to make a biblical joke. I was going to be like, you think when God was creating the world in the Bible in Genesis, that he said the same thing? Humanity gets a release date? It's on the seventh day. I'm sorry.
But then it got delayed. You know?
And then it got delayed. Story... Yeah, this is story number three. Humanity will launch for PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4, and PC via Steam on May 16th. Publisher, Enhance, and developer THA Limited announced. On PS5 and PS4, it'll be available as part of PlayStation Plus, the game catalog for PlayStation Plus Extra and Premium members. Hell yeah. PS Plus Extra gets another one.
Yeah, another one. Do you see this trailer?
No, I didn't watch it.
It just looks fun.
This whole game just looks weird in a way that I fuck with. Like, yeah. I want to play this when it comes out.
Greg always talks
odd.
About the PS3 era, you know, when he kind of, like, really got into covering PlayStation over at IGN. And, like, this is the type of game that... This is a PS5 version of those games, right?
Yeah.
Like, this really... It gives the... not the Why the Last Man, the last guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
The vibes of that and all that. So,
I mean, this
cool.
It looks like an Enhanced Games... Well, yep. It is coming from Enhanced Games, which they typically make cool, artsy, like kind of like really cool looking games, right? Like they did Tetris Effect, they did Res Infinite, and like you play those games, and it's like, wow, this is an experience. Like you play those in VR, especially, and you're like, wow, I'm going through something right now. Humanity strikes me as one of those, right? Like I didn't get to play the demo, but I'm hoping to even like get. The dopeness we got out of soundtrack and music in those other games, I'm hoping to get out of Humanity because that's what I look forward to out of Enhanced. But even regardless, like I know it's a puzzle game, and in the streets, Tim, they call me Puzzle Poppy, and so I'm down to solve some Humanity-driven
puzzles, like jigsaw puzzles. You know,
jigsaw puzzles aren't my jam. That is correct.
You don't want to play
Frankfurter.
A game?
There's way more puzzles than jigsaw puzzles. By the way.
Asks, is this not just Lemmings? It is, but you get to play as a dog.
Woof woof.
So there you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Let me tell you where you can go. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can go and get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
That was a 10.
And we're back with story number four. Cliffy B wants to resurrect Lawbreakers. This comes directly from Cliffy B on Twitter, where he tweeted out, well, turns out Nexon does own the rights to Lawbreakers. At Owen Mahoney, how about sliding into my DM so we can talk about a resurrection?
Yeah, Cliff's going like doing it right now, man. He just announced his comic officially coming out, and we've been seeing this. We were talking about it, I think it was me and you, on Games Daily a week or two ago, where he started bringing up Lawbreakers and like things are happening or whatever. So here it is. It's like there are attempts being made and trying to bring back Lawbreakers. Could it work? I don't know. Probably not, but Fortnite did.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Fortnite did it. I'm totally down to see Lawbreakers come back. Because as I said last time, Lawbreakers, I'd say, was fun, right? Like, its biggest competition, or its biggest hindrance, I think, is that it had too much competition. Like, I think the people that would have played Lawbreakers were the people that, at the time, were super into Overwatch. And there were just other games coming out at the time. Like, that was 2017, which was a stacked year in terms of shooters.
2016.
Lawbreakers was in 2016.
I mean, Overwatch was 2016.
Oh, yeah. No, Overwatch was 2016. Lawbreakers was the year after, but people were still...
I thought they launched near each other.
No, yeah. But like, Lawbreakers came off of also like PUBG and other games as well, too, where I think PUBG saw people trying to shift more toward Battle Royale-style games, and then the people that were playing these class-based shooters were still super into Overwatch. And so, yeah, like I'd be down to see it come back. Would it be successful? Would it hit? I don't know. I think they would have to figure out a way to reconfigure. Maybe the way to shift it would be to make it free to play as opposed to a paid premium title. But either way, I think the actual gameplay of Lawbreakers was a pretty decent time. I had a good time with it.
Yeah.
I know Alex Van Aken fucking loved Lawbreakers. And so, if anything, bring it back for him. Story number 5. Nintendo is changing the Japanese name of the Mario movies Spike to avoid offense. This is Chris Scullion at Video Games Chronicle. Nintendo has announced that it will be changing the Japanese name of Spike, the foreman appears in the Super Mario Brothers movie. Spike first appeared as an enemy in Wrecking Crew, which was released in arcades in 1984, then came to the Famicom and NES in 1985. Tim, let me tell you, when I saw this news story this morning, I was like, well, look at the world nowadays. Like, Spike can't have his original name. Like, what was so bad about Spike's original name? After decades of inactivity, Spike returns in the Super Mario Brothers movie as a rival to Mario and Luigi when they're working in Brooklyn. Ever since the release of the game in the mid-80s, however, Spike's character was instead called Blackie in Japan. What the fuck? What the fuck? Why'd they call him that? Why would they call him that? What the fuck?
So bad.
That was the last thing I was expecting to read when I was reading through this article.
Things.
I was like, Tim, we've gotten soft. What could they have named him? They named him Blackie. That's
paper
crazy,
in the chat,
dude.
Says that Umbreon's name is also that in Japan.
That's, oh man, that's funny as hell. Nintendo's Japanese Twitter account has now stated that the name has been changed, and while it hasn't specified a specific reason, it's likely to be... It's likely to be because the name could be used as a racist slur. Quote, the name of the character Blackie, who appears in the family computer software Wrecking Crew, will be changed to Spike, which is the same as the name in Europe and the United States, Nintendo stated. Quote, in addition, the name in the Super Mario Brothers movie released on April 28th is also Spike. So they're just saying they're going to change it in the movie as well.
Good for them changing it.
I do think
that at the end of the day, the takeaway from this is, hey, the past had a lot of problematic issues. The present shouldn't keep them. You know what I mean? We can change things. We can be like, you know what? That's wrong. Cool. And move on. So good on you, Nintendo of Japan or Illumination or whoever had anything to do with
this. I like to imagine that Illumination, as they're making the movie, they're like, oh, yeah, let's put Spike in it. Oh, yeah, that'd be a cool reference, right? And then, like, as they're working on localization for Japan and other countries, it gets back to Nintendo's president, and they're like, hey, they want to put Spike in it. And Nintendo's president is like, who? And they're like, Spike. And then, like, somebody walks over to him and whispers in his ear. And then he's like, we called him what?
No.
We got to change that.
Get the president
on the phone. We got to change that. There's a reason why we've not used that character that often since then. Oh, man, that's so funny. And, yeah, like, good on them for changing it. Because, of course, like, things change over the years, too, right? Like, I don't know. Like, that strikes me as a word that has been offensive for a while. I remember watching, like, Fresh Prince, and they make a joke about Blackie and how, like, that you can't call somebody that. And so, like, I know that's been a thing for a while, but yeah, like in Japan in like the 1980s, them calling a character that, I'm sure they were like, oh yeah, let's call him whatever. And like over the years, it's like, no, we know now that that's a thing you shouldn't call somebody. That's a thing that a character shouldn't be named because there's a lot of negative racist connotation to that. And so, good on you for changing that, Nintendo. Like, yeah, that's Tim is showing me an image of Spike from back in the day, and like, it's just a dude.
Yeah.
Wild stuff. Ugh. Really funny
just
story.
Just a normal man.
Just a normal man. Story number 6. Ready at Dawn and Downpour Interactive have been impacted by Meta layoffs. This is Justin Carter at Game Developer. Hours after Meta said thousands of layoffs were to come, it appears two of its game studios were affected. Now, former employees at developers Downpour Interactive and Ready at Dawn have said that they were among those cut by the tech giant. Quote, Ready at Dawn was a wonderful studio full of incredible people, wrote one ex-staffer. If you see anyone from Meta and Ready at Dawn in particular looking for positions, please signal boost them, end quote. Meta acquired the California-based Ready at Dawn in 2020. Before and after that acquisition, it made various VR games such as Lone Echo 2 and Echo VR, the latter of which will shut down in August. In 2021, Meta acquired Downpour, which created the 2017 VR shooter Onward. Staff were told by Meta this morning that employees will be notified about who is being let go. At the time, a specific division believed to be impacted was Reality Labs, the makers of the Quest VR headsets and other mixed reality products such as Oculus. The new string of cuts are part of Meta's attempts to restructure its teams and management hierarchies. In addition to its game developers and Reality Labs, cuts are expected at the company's Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram divisions. As an update to the story, right, we've gotten word of mouth on Twitter, right, of people who formerly worked at Meta coming on being like, hey, like, this is what it is. Thomas Griebel on Twitter tweeted this out earlier, and Thomas Griebel is a senior engine / graphics programmer at Ready at Dawn. He tweeted out that 1/3 of the studio was laid off, including the studio head, which is fucking wild.
Yeah, man. This, again, the tech layoffs continue. It's a really sad state of things for sure. And you look at VR, it's in such an interesting place as we start to see next generation hardware start to come out. And some of the, like, Meta being now one of the most, am I wrong in saying that Meta is the, like, biggest market share of VR?
One of, for sure.
Like, I don't know what else would even, like, what would be against it?
Yeah, that's probably a good
Yeah, yeah, let me know if I'm wrong.
I know PlayStation VR was, like, very high selling, but I don't know if how much it compares to Meta, but I would say those are the two.
But having these teams, like, we were just talking about the PlayStation stuff of them working on the multiplayer side of things, like, VR, they're figuring it out, and they're trying to push the tech forward, trying to find what are the use cases of experiences or games or platforms, whatever it is, using VR. And, like, I want to see the success of it. It's just, it's really sad to see the people that are doing it right, the ones that are kind of, like, leading the conversation in a lot of ways, they're getting hit, and it's like just to not see the level of success necessary to really support it and push it to the next level. But that maybe there's a sign there of just where VR is in the marketplace of, like, what is the cap for this? Like, when is the experiment phase over? And it's like, all right, cool, this is what VR can be.
Yeah. To echo what you said, right, it's upsetting, right? Like, it's the current state of tech where we're seeing a lot of tech layoffs, and, like, both of us probably know people that have been laid off in the tech space. Ready at Dawn, to bring people up to speed, right, if you don't recognize them from the VR projects, they were the ones that did The Order 1886 back in the day, right, and then shifted to VR stuff, got acquired by Meta / Facebook, and then, yeah, like, you see where they've ended up now. And, like, for me, you know, on the flip side of, we talked about PlayStation acquiring Firewalk and, like, what that means and, like, the good aspects of that. But for me, this is one of the scary parts of what acquisition can look like, where it is, hey, we're an independent studio. We get acquired by a big company to do bigger and exciting stuff. And when that big company has layoffs, that then trickles down to you as the studio that's under that company. And again, that's the scary part about it. That's the risk when it comes to acquisition. I hope to see the people that got laid off land on their feet, right? Like, I hope they're reached out to you by other people in their space, right? I hope they're able to also get severance and all that. But yeah, like, you hate to see it. And to your point too, like, I'm curious on what this does for Meta in terms of what their exclusive content looks like, what their in-house content looks like, right? Like, do we continue to see Meta double down and put out unique stuff in the space and support VR in the way that they want to see it thrive, right? Because, mm-hmm. like, they are, I would say, like, to your point of, you know, Meta being the biggest in the VR space, I think at the very least, they're the ones that, like, go hardest in terms of trying to make it a thing.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like, if Meta ends up not doing VR, right, not that that's what this means, but if we end up getting there, then I think the VR space starts to look fairly bleak, right? You then look to Apple and go, what do you have? And if
maybe
Michael
this June.
Maybe All this June.
Pointing to June.
And if they don't have something that stacks up, then it's like, oh, man, all right, like, I guess VR is starting to sunset a little bit. But yeah, again, hope to see the people that got laid off here land on their feet. Final news story for the day, story number 7. THQ Nordic have announced another showcase. This comes directly from THQ Nordic on Twitter. Another year, another lineup. Be sure to save the date for our hashtag THQ Nordic Digital Showcase live on August 11th, 2023. This year's showcase will not only include world premiere announcements, but also updates and reveals for previously announced games. Tim, if THQ Nordic is doing a showcase in August, what game is going to close out the Gamescom opening night live?
Ooh, wait.
I'm making a joke on opening night live, but yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, that's hilarious. Yeah. THQ Nordic is a bit interesting, right? They've done this a bit now, and they kind of have some fun announcements sometimes. Like, it's like things that you wouldn't necessarily expect. Like, it wasn't during one of these, but infamously Barrett predicting Battle for Bikini Bottom. And then they did it. And then we got the Cosmic Shake. Like,
I think Cosmic Shake was at the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's like, just THQ Nordic, they own so much. There's so much access to stuff to destroy all humans and that. Like, we're going to get probably more of those things. Like, I don't know which ones are even left, but, like, PS2, Xbox original era games, hey, we're going to give them a nice little up-res, see if they are successful, and if they are, maybe it gets a new sequel. That's kind of cool. On the other side, I know that there's like a million THQ Nordic things that like aren't necessarily my cup of tea. I know Time Splitters is the one I'm waiting for. I think we're very far away from that. That's one of those games of, is it real? I don't know. I hope it is.
Yeah, when I look back at the THQ Nordic showcase for 2022, to go through it real quick, right? You got Alone in the Dark Remake, Destroy All Humans 2, Reprobed, Space for Sale, Gothic 1 Remake, Jagged Alliance 3, The Valiant, Tempest Rising, Knights of Honor 2, Sovereign, Outcast 2, Recreation, Way of the Hunter, AEW Wrestling, Fight Forever, Stuntfest, World Tour, SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake, and then a South Park game. I forgot that they announced an upcoming South Park game. Yeah, and I think that's like that would be probably the one thing I'd be looking forward to. I don't know if it's too early to get something from that, but
I hope it's not, because I think that what we've seen from THQ Nordic, if they're going to do this digital showcase, I feel like they need to build that identity and build on that identity. So I feel like they've done a good job so far of earning their keep of like, you know what? This doesn't need to be an email. We have a showcase. We have enough to talk about. Mm-hmm. We could build something to get our audience excited for a showcase every year, to get updates, maybe some fun announcements, and see where things are at. I would hope that South Park's at a place that they could show something, because we didn't get gameplay last time, I don't think. So, and even if it's just like an idea more of like what this South Park game is.
Yeah. I'd love to see more AEW Fight Forever. That's one that's been in a weird place where we've gotten trailers for it, and like they've.
I feel like it's going to be out before this.
Will it?
Like,
that's my thing. I would love to get a solid release date, and it's out next month. I think that would be the strong way to do it. If you want to build this, I guess this lore to the THQ Nordic showcase, because I think that's what any yearly showcase needs. If you're going to do a showcase that is consistent and you're doing it from the place of being a publisher, then I think you need to build like this, hey, this is why you should be excited, this is what you should look forward to. And so I think having things like SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake, and especially the South Park thing be purely just teased there, right? I think that's a good way to start. Mm-hmm. You need more of those. I don't expect those out of THQ Nordic. Like, they don't strike me as, and this, like, no offense to THQ Nordic, even though this might be offensive, but like, they don't strike me as a publisher that can give me the stuff year over year and have a catalog of games that I'm excited for, at least right now, for what they have shown me. You know, like, I want THQ Nordic to build towards that. South Park is a really good step towards that. Cosmic Shake for Barrett is a pretty good step towards that, right? Like, I'm even looking at games like Stunt, like, AEW Wrestling is good for Greg Miller, right? But then, like, things like, you know, Recreation looks neat, but like, as I read through all that list of games, I don't remember any of that. Like, these aren't games that I don't think people are getting excited for in that way. And I think you need a little bit more of those.
Yeah. Again, though, I think that we're getting to a point where there are enough IP and like genres of games that like they could, any single person here at Kinda Funny pretty much could watch this showcase, and there might be an announcement that makes us pop. I think that's kind of cool. It's not the biggest pop in the world. It's not Final Fantasy VII. It's not like whatever, but it's like, it goes, oh shit. Like, I'm excited for that. That's cool. Mm-hmm. And that's a unique quality that I think THQ Nordic has because of what they have access to. Sure. And like, and they've proven they'll do anything. Like, there's no real rules of it where it's like, oh yeah, we might get Cosmic Shake. Like, that's, I don't think any of us would have predicted that we get a new SpongeBob platformer in the style.
It was my Crash 4, you know? Like that was exactly insane. And that's the thing I was thinking about. It's like THQ Nordic is from a different time in the best way possible.
Is it in the best way possible, though?
100%,
because, like, did you love Cosmic Shake?
Yeah, I really liked it. I gave it
never mind. I'll take it back.
It was the, I think I did the Blessing Eddie Jr. I think I fairly gave it a 3 out of 5, but I love it like a 5 out of 5.
Okay. Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Excuse me. I got the hiccups, Tim.
Uh-oh.
It's 420 starting early.
Oh, you know? 420 starting early. He's got hiccups, everybody.
I got the weed hiccups. That's what happens when you smoke a lot of weed, everybody, right? You learn to hear first. Tim,
yeah.
I'm very curious to see what goes down at the upcoming THQ Nordic showcase. But that showcase is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mama Grop Shops today, where'd I look?
I just want to say 69 hiccups.
Why?
The official list of upcoming software across every like platform sentence is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do 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 do. Yeah,
69.
You would not want the hiccups if you're doing 69, Tim.
Hey,
right?
Don't you don't know me.
Hey, you don't know. Use it to your advantage, Bless.
Use it to your
advantage. Not today. We got Coffee
Talk.
Play
Fast and Loose.
Coffee Talk Episode 2, Hibiscus and Butterfly for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Lost Epic for Switch. Outer Terror for PC. Super Meat Boy Forever for iOS and Android. All right. Haven Dock Early Access for PC. Stray Blade for PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X. Ocho for PC. Ocho is really cool. If you like Hotline Miami, highly recommend checking that out. It's basically Hotline Miami, but a roguelite. Aerisys for PC. Arcana of Paradise, The Tower for PC and Switch. Greed Inventory for PC. A Medieval VR for MetaQuest. Labyrinth of Zangetsu for PS4, PC, and Switch. Molly Medusa, Queen of Spit for Switch. Is this a banana situation? Did you put that in there?
No,
After you said the 69 hiccup thing, did you put the Queen of Spit in there?
No, but it's too good.
Can you look up Molly?
I need to know more about Molly Medusa, Queen of Spit.
Yeah.
It's going to be like a fucking gal gun situation.
Because let me tell you.
Just Google Queen of Spit. See what happens.
Just Google Queen of Spit. Tim, I know the Queen of Spit. It's not Molly Medusa. Not her. I'm telling you, it's not her. Oh man,
what a day it's been. Remember when Greg showed up? That was the same episode.
Remember when Nintendo had a character named Blackie? Like, what the fuck is going on there? You're putting out a Zelda. Fix that shit. Mr. Sun's Hatbox is out today for Switch and PC. And then 10 Hearts is out today for everything. Right now, Barrett has up footage of Molly Medusa, Queen of Spit. Tim, how would you describe this?
We have Wind Waker at home is what I would describe.
Yeah. God, I was looking down and you said, Tim, how do you describe it? I look up and I just see that face looking at me. But yeah, there is a lot of Wind Waker.
That dude had a cloud sword. He had a fucking buster sword. All right, she's walking around. She has a statue of a hand walking around.
It kind of looks like
a lot of dialogue in this thing.
If Wind Waker was on an N64, but the N64 was being played.
Oh, it's literally just, it's Wind Waker, man.
On a 4K.
Well, where does the spit come in?
Instead of water,
they have a desert.
Literally a desert. Like, what?
Wow.
The chat's popping off. Where's the spit?
I want to find the spit for y'all.
Yeah, there's like a huge lack of spit.
This is a 3-minute trailer. What the hell?
Wow, yeah, this is straight up Wind Waker.
Oh,
in the world? Is this allowed?
Is this allowed?
Good on them. They refuse to.
out today, y'all. 420, baby.
420.
They refuse to bring Wind Waker to the Switch. So you know what? Good on Queen of Spit. You know.
Good on them. New date for you. Gemma Tomb releases April 28th on Steam, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Switch. Deal of the day. The next free Epic Games Store titles have been revealed. You're getting Breath Edge and Poker Club. Those will be free to download from the Epic Games Store from April 27th until May 4th. Tim, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. And
my stomach hurts from laughing this episode.
It's been a wild episode. That's what happens when you get me and you together on 420. The two biggest potheads are kind of funny. You know?
I love it.
You know? We got nothing wrong, Tim. All the...
Of course we didn't,
all
dude.
The pot facts I threw at you, all true.
Yeah,
all real.
True.
And I listened to the episode yesterday and they got nothing wrong. And that was suspicious.
Cupboard.
Yeah. And so, cupboard.
That was a great episode. I also ended up watching it last night after Barrett's video finished and it auto-played Games Daily. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to this.
And I went to kindoffunny.com, since you're wrong. I put in a test thing and it worked. And so, yeah, nobody's writing in. I also fixed a thing where it says Barrett's username.
Thank you.
In the thing. I don't know why nobody ever fixed that. So yeah, when you go to kindoffunny.com, says you're wrong, it doesn't have Barrett in there anymore.
Thank you. Stop pretending to be me, you fucking weirdos.
Instead, I put Joey's name in there.
Uh-oh.
No, I didn't do that, but now I will. Tim, that's been it for Kind of
that's
Funny
been it.
Games Daily. That's what you got. That's a fun Thursday episode for you. Tomorrow's hosts are going to be Tim and Steve Spawn.
Hell yeah.
Tim, while we're hanging out, we got time.
We do. Let's hang out.
There's a couple things happening today.
Yes.
One, right after this, I believe, is the Division showcase. Where did you catch this?
I did.
They're talking about the Division 2, the Division Heartland, and the Division Mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
Does that do anything for you?
No. Okay. I'm very happy for Greg.
All right, fair enough.
Sure, are you?
I'm curious about. I like Division 2, mm-hmm. and so I'm gonna check that out. Also today is Lil Wayne is hosting the Street Fighter
That's
showcase.
Right. I'm hoping we get the song.
Oh, like the Lil Wayne song is gonna be in the game. I hope so too.
But just do it.
God, is there?
I want to hear that Lil Wayne giggle. It's been too long. I've been listening to Wayne for a while.
It's 4:20, which actually really great timing for from them. But I just want to hear the him putting on the lighter. Yeah, when he's about to rap a dope verse.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what we need.
Yeah,
I want the Street Fighter.
Is that something you're gonna tune into?
I'll probably check in. I'm not gonna watch it live, but like I'll see what's up. I want to know what's going on.
Okay,
I'm very excited for Street Fighter 6, man. I was talking to my brother about it yesterday. I was like, there's so many games coming out. I was like telling him, like, so we got the bangers, obviously, mm-hmm. like the big. Of course, I'm playing Jedi, and of course, I'm playing Zelda for Tim Geddes.
Yeah.
But like, I want to dabble with Diablo. I'm really excited about Street Fighter 6
and Final Fantasy 16. No, and then right there too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, Street Fighter though, like, I'm very excited for it because I know that no matter what, it's going to be a great time for me. Even if I play it for just if I get one weekend of being able to play it, I'm gonna have a great time. But if I get more time, I'm gonna have a great time. Mm-hmm. Street Fighter 6, like, I don't need to 100% do everything to get what I need or want out of it. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
Whereas like with Zelda or with Jedi, it's like, I want to beat the game. Like there's a goal there.
Yeah.
You know? Whereas with Street Fighter, it's like, just have fun playing the game.
Yeah, just turn it on. Like, yeah, if you get a week out of it, if you get 6 months out of it, right? Like, it's fun either way. Is there anything that is left for them to talk about that would sell you even more on the game?
I honestly, at this point, I'm just fingers crossed hoping that the single player isn't a total bore fest. Like, I hope that it's good. Like, because I know that at the end of the day, Street Fighter's gameplay is 10 out of 10. It's Street Fighter. And, like, they care. They're trying to get this one right. We've played it. It's fun as hell. But I just feel like I like single player in fighting games. And broken record here. But NetherRealm, I love what they do.
Yeah.
I don't think that Street Fighter 6 is going to be anywhere close to that. It doesn't seem like they're trying for that. They're trying something different. I hope what they're doing works. I'm hesitant about it. I don't think it's going to.
Mm.
But I hope I'm wrong.
I hope you're wrong, too. Because I everything they've shown out of that, like, I get exactly where you're coming from, because it reminds me so much of Mortal Kombat Deception had a single-player mode where you play as Chujinko, and you're, like, you know, just this avatar character who is learning from all the other Mortal Kombat characters in the world, and it looks very similar to what they're going for with Street Fighter 6 in the single-player mode. I enjoyed that, but also, like, I get so much more out of Mortal Kombat, the modern Mortal Kombat and what they bring to story and stuff. I don't think Street Fighter 6 is going to give us that, but I am hoping that this single player mode is fun. Like, I'm hoping that it's a good time. I'm hoping that they even like go way beyond what Mortal Kombat Deception did with its single player stuff.
This is a very weird getting into Tim Getty's mind moment, bless.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something to me that it's a binary. I either like it or don't like it. I get my hands on a controller and just moving a character around a space in 3D.
Mm.
I want it to feel like Mario 64.
It's not.
And if it doesn't, and I'm talking about in the sense of like, you have full control over this little guy.
Mm.
You know what you're doing. You feel good about it. And I feel like so often, it just doesn't feel right in these type of things where the game is a 2D fighting game. There's also this mode that you get to like kind of walk around. The last time I had an issue with this, Fire Emblem Three Houses. Love Fire Emblem. I hate the way it controls.
You don't want to feel like an avatar. Cool. You want to feel like a character.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. I don't want to feel like I'm just kind of like moving a thing around. I want to feel like there's a person moving that I am in control of.
I feel that.
You know? And looking at Street Fighter, I'm like, this. I can guarantee I'm not going to like how this feels. And I don't like that.
Yeah. So if you played the beta, they have the lobbies that you run around in. And I have to imagine that the single player is going to feel exactly like that. And the one thing I will say to it is that they have a button that you can press that'll then bring up different moves that you can do in the 3D space. And so you can do the Shoryuken or like if you're the Chun-Li upside down spinning kick, you can do that stuff in real time in the 3D world. And just in the lobby, I'm using that to like platform over things, right?
Okay.
Like I'm using the Shoryuken to like get above the like railing area so I can get to this other area in the thing. Like already I'm having fun playing around in the 3D space. Now, does it feel like Mario 64? Does it feel super smooth? No.
And again, I feel weird saying Mario 64 because like people are going to be like, oh, like... That's insane to say, but I'm like, I'm just saying like how bad on the other end some of these.
And I don't think it's that bad. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about in terms of, oh yeah, this is very much, I'm just an avatar running through the world and it doesn't feel like I'm playing a game, it feels like I'm ushering myself to the next menu item or whatever.
In a weird way, like I was really first thinking about this and like the differences with Pokemon Scarlet and Violet, especially once you get your mounts like fully abilityed up so it can just move around. It feels like Mario 64 moving around. If you want to just get from one place to another in Scarlet and Violet, you're controlling that character, especially on the Mirrodin or Corridon. And it's like, oh, this feels exactly how I want it to. When I jump and I glide and all that stuff, I'm like, this just feels good. And I just want these things to feel good.
I feel that, Tim.
To ask?
Tim.
Ryu, make me feel good.
Tim, make Tim feel good. All right. We've said a lot of things this episode.
We have.
I was going to make a reference to the Queen of Spit. I was possibly going to make a reference to having hiccups during 69.
Yeah.
Utilize
it, everybody.
Yeah, you utilize it. You have it at your disposal, all right? Just use it. Just use it. Tim, that's enough of that, all right? Remember, of course, right here on Kinda Funny Games Daily, we're doing something new with YouTube Super Chats. On Kinda Funny Games Daily, only on YouTube and the live stream, there's going to be a 30-minute post-show where Snowmike Mike comes in to talk to us, KFGD hosts, about your Super Chat questions. You can stay tuned after today's handshake to hang out with us before the next Kinda Funny stream starts. This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. Until next time, Game Daily.